Your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, our text for today. Oh, somebody got my... Thank you. I wanted to come down on the floor level because what I have to say, I take no pride in, and I'm humbled, and I wanted to share it with you. If you have your text... 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in the 4th verse, there are diversities of gifts. That means there's a lot of different gifts. None of us have, well, I can't speak for all of you, but I don't have all the gifts. And sometimes I wonder which gift God has given me. And I would pray that it would be perseverance. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And what prompted me to bring this message, and it's more of a talk than a sermon. But 2 weeks ago, the women's ministry put on a program that really impressed me, and I commend them. They started on time. It was flowing the way it should, and it stopped less than on time. And I wanted to read something that impressed me, and I won't be able to find it. So we're starting off on the wrong foot, but we're going to get better as we go. And maybe if I turn the sheet over, I'll see what I wanted to read. After that sermon, I have a little booklet. It's not a hard copy. It's just about so big. But it's quotes by Ellen White. And each morning, I just open it up at random and read a very short quote. And after I read it, I thought of this and what the ladies did 2 weeks ago. It said, short sermons will be remembered longer than long sermons. And I'm not going to ask you, but just think about it. It was a short sermon, but it was very profound. And I don't think I'll ever forget that little bathroom that had how many women? See, I already forgot how many, but I don't forget that they were there. Their lives were at stake. One noise, one mistake, they would have been killed. And I appreciate that short sermon. And I'm going to try to do the same here. And since it's not a sermon, a talk takes a little longer. So bear with me. In 1963, in this state, a young Adventist lady, her last name was Sherbert. I will never forget her last name. I don't think I ever knew her first name. But she was denied workman's compensation because she refused to accept a job that required Sabbath work. And the state says, we will not give you the workman's compensation because you refused a position. And somebody asked me the other day, what happens to all the money? And this church has been very liberal. What happens to it? And this is just part of it, that they take part of that money and defend people that have been wrongly treated because of the Sabbath and because of our fundamental beliefs. So anyway, they took this all the way to the United States Supreme Court and won. And the courts ruled in her favor and said just because she refused to work on her Sabbath, you cannot refuse her workman's compensation. So praise the Lord, that was a great victory. That's the end of the story, right? We can all go home. No. Just a few years later, and I have all of the dates. I'm not going to give them all to you because I can't remember them. I know maybe you would have trouble. But in 1990, there was another religious liberty trial. And this was a person that, because his religion required him to smoke peyote, which is a drug, an illegal drug, he wasn't selling it, he wasn't promoting it. That was just part of his religion. So his employer fired him. They took that all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and they ruled against him, which completely nullified the one that came here from South Carolina. So where do we go from there? And I appreciate our Religious Liberty Department from Washington all the way down to the Union, all the way down to the conference. So they went back to bat. And I want to tell you something, and it pained me severely to hear so many Seventh-day Adventists saying so many terrible things about President Bill Clinton. Now, he did have feet of clay, but he was for the Adventist. That door was open. At that time, Wentley Phipps was the liaison to the White House for religious liberty, and he had an open door. So they got a group of religious leaders, and I'm sure political leaders, and took that back to President Clinton, and he passed the law to reinstate. Now, a state can deal with religious people, but it has to be the least resistant. In other words, you can't use a sledgehammer, you might use a feather to correct a problem, and it's only fair. So Bill Clinton signed this into law. It was called the Religious Liberty Restoration Act. And we said, okay, we can rest now. It's all over. But no, a few years later, the Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional because that would deprive state rights from making their own law. So you see, years have gone by, but our people, and I praise them, have never given up, and they never will. You know about the bill that's, are we trying to get a bill in Washington now? It takes perseverance. It takes a long time. You have to be persistent to get something done. Well, what do we do? We had to go back to the states. So here we come full circle back to South Carolina. And in 1999, and I would have to look, I got one right. 1999, the South Carolina Christian Action Council, and this is a Lutheran organization, and they're doctors of theology, so they're called doctor. Dr. Wayne Bryant wrote a letter to our church in Columbia and said, do you have anyone that would like to participate? We're going to try to pass a religious liberty bill. So see, God will use anybody. We're not the only ones that fight for religious freedom. So Pastor Jim Sawtelle, who used to be a pastor here, asked me if I would want to participate. And I said, sure. So I called and made an appointment. And I tell you, everybody should go to our state house and just see the confusion that goes on there. So I went in, all wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, that I'm going to do something. But it was, if ever anyone felt like a peanut in a herd of elephants, it was me. because I had no idea what was going on. So the church had printed up some little cards with my name on it. It says Seventh-day Adventist. And I started going from door to door to door. And believe it or not, people accepted and said, "Thank you so much. Are you the ones that send the Liberty magazine?" I said, "Yes." They said, "Oh, we look forward to that." Now, I wish that it was 100%, but some, looked and said, "You're not in my district, get lost." But anyway, the bill was introduced, and it goes to the House of Representatives first, and the person that has to deal with it, and I'll tell you about him later, because he wanted credit for this bill, and he didn't get it. So, anyway, Dr. Bryant called me and says, several pastors are going to meet with Senator Alexander. He's the senator of the upstate portion of our state. And we went in, and he thought I was a pastor. So, see, I got a promotion right off. And I didn't tell him any different, but I didn't tell him that I was either. He was a very, very nice person. And when he found out I was an Adventist, he says, "Oh, do you know so-and-so? She's an Adventist." And, when that happens, you say, what kind of person, what kind of witness was this person that he knew? It's kind of like, the deer in the headlights. And he said, "We have this lady," gave her name. I didn't know her. And she is our church organist. She's a Seventh-day Adventist. And she comes and said, "Whew, she's the most wonderful person. We just love her. Wow." So, there was number two. I'm in. So as time went on, Dr. Bryant called me again and said, "Are you available? We have a group of bishops that need to meet with the senator. Are you available?" So you see, right off, I was promoted to a bishop. The only thing I did was be there. And I was going to name this this talk, Three Women and One Man. And I will get to that. But because of these three women, the first one I've already mentioned, her name is Sherbet. And every time I go shopping, I say, it couldn't be wrong to get a carton of sherbet. But I don't know what happened to her, but she went through the whole thing. So Senator Alexander told of this woman, she's number two. She was a witness in our state capitol and didn't even know it. And I benefited from it, because Senator Alexander, I didn't plan to do this, but I did have to go to the hospital for heart surgery. And he found out after I had gone home, he called me. And he said, "I wish that I would have known I'd come to visit you." And that meant so much to me. So that's number two. And we have another doctor of theology. His name is a strange name, Flynn Harrell. And he was the chairman of the Ethics Committee. I mean, he wasn't in the Senate. He was still a pastor. And he came to me one day and he said, "I have a problem. Some reason they stopped my Liberty magazine. And I go out to these breakfast meetings, and that's what I speak on, is what I learn in the Liberty magazine. Can you help me?" And he had lost 1 year. Folks, how many magazines in 1 year do you get from Liberty? Six. So I went and looked at my own, and I got out the six that he was missing and gave them to him. And he was appalled. He couldn't believe it. And I says, I will reinstate you, and you will get them from now on. What happened, he was a Presbyterian minister. I don't know what happened. I didn't ask. He didn't tell. And he transferred over to Baptist. So that's why when he transferred over, they just dropped his name. So he was reinstated. And he took me... Well, I didn't tell you number three. He also asked me if I knew, and I'll tell you her first name, Gail. I said, oh, sure. We went to the first church together. I never knew her to ever take a position up front. She was very quiet. She was a very good Christian, as far as I knew. Very likable. And he said, we grew up. We lived in the same neighborhood with she and her family. Wonderful. See, you know, there goes the deer in the headlights again. Wonderful family. Wonderful lady. And everything that happened, he made sure that I participated in. Because of her. There's nothing I did. Nothing that I did except show up. And I started to name this three women, one man, and a warm body. And the one man, as I was passing out my cards, I gave it to a senator. He looked at it and he says, oh, do you happen to know Ray McKinney in Aiken? Well, I wasn't in Aiken at that time. And I had to say, no, I'm sorry, I don't. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. I respect him so highly. So that was another feather in my cap for just being there. So he did help us getting this bill. If you've ever tried to get a bill through, this bill could have gone through in 2 weeks. It took 6 months of daily going. Now, there was an advantage. They were renovating the state capitol. So they were meeting over at a hotel that they had converted, and it was on the same floor. They had a glass partition here. You could sit here and see all the senators and the representatives. Now you sit up way high. They look like they're about that high looking down. So that was an advantage. And just about the time it was going to the next level, somebody would object, and it would go back and forth and back and forth. And you just have to have patience. Now, there's one thing I've got to tell you. It was monetarily beneficial to me. The church didn't pay me. Nobody paid me. But as I was walking up the hill, and this was back in 99, and evidently that's when the new money came out. And I was walking up, looked in the gutter, and I saw this play money. And I said, you know, I didn't think it was worth anything, but you know me, I wanted to clean up the city. So I reached down and picked it up. And I kept looking at it. It had all these different colors, but it said 50 on it. I said, oh, wow, that's nice. So anyway, I went up to the security when I went in, and I said, would you please tell me if this is real? And they said, yeah, it's real. I said, well, I found it out there on the street in the gutter. And has anybody claimed it? And they said, no. But said, leave it with us a week, and if nobody claims it, it's yours. So I said, sure. How gullible I was. I said, I'll never see that $50 bill again. So a week later, I went up. Yes, they remembered me. Said, nobody. Here it is. So I did benefit financially, but that wasn't the reason. So anyway, Flynn Harrell And politics did get involved because everybody wants credit for something that's good. But Flynn Harrell took me and he told me, said, I want you to come during the signing, the governor. I want you to be there. I said, well, I plan to. It was at a huge church there in Columbia. Beautiful, brand new church. So the governor came, and a lot of senators and representatives came, and a lot of clergy. And he said, I want you to stand right here. I want you to stand right here. You know what's going on. So when the governor signed, the governor had asked him to coordinate the whole thing. And I don't know how many pens it was that the governor signed. Now this is a pen and it says big. It's a big pen, common, you can buy them anywhere. But what makes this one so different, it's got the seal of the governor, Jim Hodges. And this is one of the pens that he signed this bill into law. And I hope everyone has a copy of what was presented that day, because now we have a religious liberty bill in this state. And it's been since June of 1999, and nobody has challenged it as of yet. We're the only seventh one that has a state religious liberty bill. Now, I keep this in a little display case. I don't take it out and look at it every day. But I treasure it. It may cost a dollar. I don't know. But I treasure it because it was a gift. I did nothing to earn it. So one day, I just looked in the case and I said, you know, I did nothing to deserve this. And it was these ladies who, two of them I don't even know. I didn't know our brother here at that time. Well, I did, because this was just not too long ago. And I said, you know, Gail, in her witness, resulted in me getting this. And I said, someday I would like to tell her. Because I haven't been to the first church in 8 years. And I said, someday I would like to tell her how much I appreciate this. So we went shopping. I don't know if you have a 14 carat here. But it's a health food store. And Mary said, I need to drop in and pick up a few things. You know how that goes. An hour and a half later, she's still picking up a few things. Sorry, dear. No lunch today. But anyway, I sit out and read. I always take my quarterly or some reading material. And on a beautiful day like this, I just sit out on the benches. And I'm sitting reading, and I heard this little voice. Said, Jerry? And I said, who can this be? And I looked up, and it was Gail. I said, Gail, you will not believe this. You will. I fear to tell you, because just this morning, I took this pen out and said, she's the one that caused me to get this. And she just said, you know, she couldn't believe it. So the Lord is so good to us. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to have more than a pen. We're going to have a crown. And we're going to say, we didn't deserve it. And we're going to throw it to the feet of Jesus, who did everything. But that doesn't excuse us for being a warm body and doing what the Lord asked us to do. And I will treasure this the rest of my life. Because if you have the time, You ought to go to the State House just to see the confusion that is there, that this actually came out of all that confusion. And now we have, I don't know how many more states. This was the seventh. I don't know how many more. I know that some do not have help in getting that. But we live in a wonderful state. We serve a wonderful God. If you watch the television like I do, things are happening. Yeah. This country is in trouble financially. Yeah. We're going into a recession, which could go into a depression. And all of these things could unfold before our very eyes. Right. We need to stay close to the Word. We need to stay close to Jesus. We will use as our, and I asked Grant if he would come up. Was it 608? What a memory, what a memory. And he will lead us in our closing song.